touring a couple of days in Pretoria, a couple of days in Cape Town. So basically the layout of the trip was we got there, we got acclimated, we went to church the next morning. I had to teach Sunday school. Sabrent was kind enough to give me the opportunity to teach Sunday school. And I realized a couple of days beforehand, I thought about this earlier, I thought I'll be okay, that I was teaching the Bible at 3:45 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that was kind of, and I felt like it too, honestly. So I don't know how coherent it was. They didn't charge me with heresy, so I guess we're okay. But it was a blessing. We worshiped. Then we went straight to Polonsburg, and you'll see all that in the trip. But then we spent 4 days working in the ACBC conference, and our folks did such a great job. I was so proud of our people. They basically took care of the entire children's ministry of the conference so that all the adults, all the South Africans and the other folks from around Africa that were there were able to enjoy the entire conference. And it was quite an undertaking. So we had, there were some challenging kids too. But anyway, it was a great time. And we did the same thing in Cape Town, a couple of days of sightseeing. And then we got to spend time with the folks, and I got to speak in the conference myself, and I got to experience the conference. It was fantastic. If you have an opportunity, you can watch it online. You can either YouTube it, or you can go to ACBC Africa's website and watch the sessions. And they were wonderful. Ted Tripp taught, Dr. Mack, Sabrant, myself, Josh. There are a number of different folks that were bringing the word. Probably the most interesting thing that I wasn't expecting was how fast Sabrant can walk. He was trying to help us cover the Cape Town region in record time. I mean, we get out of the van, he's driving, he knows where he's going, and it was not like, hey guys, come on, you know, all right, come on, are you okay? It was like this. You know? Catch up to him and look back and say, follow me. His enthusiasm for what he believes is one of the most beautiful places in the world, and it really is beautiful. But it was a great joy. It's great to have an enthusiastic tour guide, and we certainly had that. It was a great blessing. Carolyn's commenting on your driving now too. That we made great time all throughout South Africa. No, it was a wonderful trip. So Bethany's going to come and start our slideshow now.
Okay. I don't think I know how to use this thing. Oh, there we go. Okay, so like Ty said, we started out, we got there on a Saturday morning. I think, did we land about 8 or 9 a.m. there? I don't see anyone who was on our flight. But it felt like 2 a.m. here. So we hit the ground on Saturday, and Sabrant drove us all over Pretoria. Taught us a whole lot of things, none of which I remember. Oh, you want to stand closer? Because I think that whole day was a blur. And he even said, he's like, we're just trying to keep you awake. And he did a really good job, but I couldn't tell you anything. Did I do that? That happened on that first day. So the second day, Sunday, we got up and went to church. And after that, like Ty said, we went straight to Polonsburg for 2 days in the game park on safari. So I'm just going to run through. Oh, I might not. I'll tell you, we saw rhinos. And elephants. Oh, there we go. Fast. So we stayed in what they called permanent tents, which were just that, a tent on a concrete slab, basically. They had these big, huge bathhouses. In these game parks, a lot of times the smaller animals know they're safe in there because there's fences. So they will join you inside. And so one night, it was about 3 a.m., I was going to the restroom. So you had to walk from your tent out around to the bathhouse, and I was walking, I had my flashlight, and I was right about to the door, and I heard something. And so I stopped, and I kind of went like this with my flashlight, and there were about 40 impala.
Oh, no.
Right there, which are like deer-type animals. So I just put my flashlight back down and walked as quickly as I could and came right back. They were gone by the time I came out, so I think maybe they were more scared of me than I was of them, but there were a lot of them. So we got up close and personal with the animals. That's what we rode around in for 2 days. It gets really, really cold in the morning and in the evening, but for most of the time it was really pleasant. I know y'all don't want to see us, so here's some of the animals. Chelsea, did you take these? Are these your... Okay, so we saw all kinds of animals. I think the giraffes may have been my favorite. Zebras, and it was really cool to see them like that in that one picture. Yes, there are a lot of, and they have really cool birds, but I love seeing just the different types of animals together. Like in that one picture, there were the giraffes and the zebras just running around together. So there were all kinds of birds. There were some really colorful ones that were really fun to see. And they made really interesting noises, too. That you don't think about it, but the bird noises there were totally different than the ones here. There's a rhino. Say Brent could tell us the difference in a white rhino and a black rhino. Something with their neck length, I don't remember. But it has nothing to do with the color of them. They just call them white and black rhinos, but they're all gray. So there's that. All different kinds of, I consider them just like deer type, antelope type animals. But they all have different markings, different stripes. And I tell you, the guides who take you on these safaris have like the best vision you've ever seen, because they'll be like, see that thing way off over there? It's a such and such and such. And I'm like, I think it's a rock, but I'm not sure. There were lots of elephants, and we saw lots of baby elephants, which was really fun. And I think it was this one. We had pulled up to this elephant, and there were cars coming from, do what? Okay, maybe I may have been, but we pulled up to one coming from this way, and there was a car behind it, and we kind of sat there for a minute. The elephant was walking at us, and then after a couple of minutes, the guide was like, oh, he's mad, and floored it in reverse and turned around and took off, because that elephant was, I think he felt maybe chased by the car behind him, but we got out of there quickly, and I was like, yeah, I don't need to get chased down by an elephant. So we saw lions. There were little baby lions. That one. We did see one little playful lion cub who was annoying its mother, I think, because she kept trying to walk off, and he'd grab her tail and be like, no, stop, play with me. Okay, so then after we came back from the 2 days there, we spent 4 days, like Ty said, in Pretoria with Linwood Baptist Church. And we mostly ran a kids camp for them, which is basically, I kept referring to it as kind of like VBS light. We took all of the stuff we had from VBS here over there and ran. Our theme was a time lab to see that, you know, God is sufficient and consistent throughout all of time. And so we would travel in time each day to creation or the Old Testament times, and then we would have a lesson there. There were probably, that was, I think, all the kids in Pretoria. It was about 30-ish kids, I think, in Pretoria, ranging from newborn to 11 or 12 years old. So we kind of had a wide range, but it was really fun. There's Chelsea. They were playing Gorilla Man Gun, right? Which they love, which surprisingly, the favorite thing they love, Cape Town and Pretoria, it was a shock. We just did it to fill some time, was they loved playing Simon Says. I mean, for hours. Can we play Simon Says? Are we going to play Simon Says later? And we were like, okay, we're running out of ideas. Like, we don't know what else to make you do. So they had gotten us a really nice tent to go out in the side of the church. And we hung out there. We did crafts. We colored. We drew with chalk, not on the tent, but out. Jonathan had the puppet for us every day, which I think was the highlight of the kids' week. They loved it. So there's Chelsea sitting there. I don't know if you can see her. She's sitting there looking up at the puppet. And they kind of did a dialogue that went with the lesson every day, which the kids absolutely loved. There we are teaching. We kind of had some posters that we put up on the sides of the tent to go along with the lessons. And then we just played a lot of games. This one, I think, was one of the kids' favorites. That we kind of divided them up into groups. Like, each age group had a specific leader. And so one of the groups was, I had taken a ton of sticky notes. And the game was, okay, you have 60 seconds to stick as many sticky notes to your leader as you can. And whoever has the most still stuck at the end wins. So we did that. That top right pictures, we took them. There was a park right down the street that they were like, oh, you can take the kids to. They can run around on the playground and it'll be great. And I thought I knew where the park was. Megan had told me, you just go out the gate and it's just right down the street on the left. Well, the gate I went out was not the gate she was referring to. So that picture is actually when we got to the end of the street that I thought the park was on. And I was the one taking the picture. I turned on and I was like, guys, there's not a park here. So we turned around, took all the kids all the way back, and went around the corner on the other street, and there was a park. So we made it. We didn't lose any children. All was well. So we went to the park and did a creation scavenger hunt. So we had different things they had to find that kind of went along with each day of creation, because that was the lesson for that day, which I think they really enjoyed. Then we went, I think most of these pictures are, well, the top one, those aren't from Cape Town, but several of these others, we went to Cape Town and basically replicated the same thing for their conference, which Cape Town's, I guess, about 14-ish hours by car from Pretoria. So it's a long way. We flew, and it took a couple of hours. But the kids played on jungle gyms. They played Pictionary in the dirt. We had a ballet class, all kinds of things. So it was really, it was basically just like VBS or any sort of summer camp here. We just traveled in time a little. So I'm going to let Chelsea come and talk about just some of the fellowship and the friendships that were made there. I don't know if you'll need that, actually.
So, disclaimer, I made this PowerPoint for some people at work, so that's why I'm in every picture. So Bethany just kind of added some pictures in. She loves me, but not quite that much. So first of all, I just wanted to explain my introduction into South Africa. So we flew in actually a different day than their group. So we flew into the airport and pretty much went straight to our host homes, getting dropped off. So our host home was in this little neighborhood, which is like gated. So I'm like, okay, that's like here. All right, okay. You know, little neighborhoods are gated. And then there's also a gate with this big electric fence around the house. And I'm like, okay. You know, that was like, Chris and I went to Burkina. I'm like, Burkina Faso, West Africa. I'm like, they have little, you know, compounds. Okay, that's not weird. So then we walk through the front door, and then they close this iron gate. They close the front door and then close an iron gate. And I'm like, okay, we are not in Kansas anymore. Like, this is okay. All right. So then we eat supper, and all the bedrooms are on this one hall. Like, all the bedrooms and bathrooms are all on this one hall. And our host, Tracy, that's them. They're awesome. She's like, do you guys need anything else from the kitchen? Or are you done? And I'm like, I mean, yeah, I don't think so. We're good. And then they close another gate on top of the, like, to close off the hall, all of these iron bar gates. And I'm like, wow, all right. This is not America. So no, it was cool. We felt very, very safe and secure multiple times over. So Ty kind of already said my point. You stole my point. Thank you for introducing that for me. But I was just going to say that it was cool, the community that we had with our host home. So the guy on the end, that's Josh, his wife Tracy, and their oldest daughter, Christy, the middle daughter, Giselle, and the youngest daughter is Rachel. And me, Krista, and Joanne all stayed in their house, and it was really cool. I was pretty much just expecting, like, food, a bed, maybe some conversation, maybe. Didn't have any expectations, but this was, I think, my favorite part of the whole trip was just the fellowship with them. Tracy had just read Idols of the Heart by Elise Fitzpatrick, and so we were able to just share testimonies and share how God used Idols of the Heart for her, and how he used How People Change, the book that Jack and Ty went through, to just show us our pride. And so, like, if I've gone to many, many different countries, and it's fun to see how Christianity and Christians, like, the church is a family. Like, you have that instant connection, but you just have, if the church is a family, then the biblical counseling is this little niche, is like your immediate family. So you feel close, like, with believers around the globe, but when you add biblical counseling in, that common connection, it was just even closer. It also helped that the girls were right around the same age as my nephews, so I just felt like part of the family. And I had homework, so I didn't go to a couple of things. I stayed at their house and just did homework, so I got to just hang out with them. And, yeah, it was cool.
I think... Yeah, Ty, if you want to come and actually... Ty's going to come and tell us a little bit more about the actual conferences. We were wrangling kids, but he was able to actually go. And I think there's a picture of you in here. Yeah, so let's start with that.
Okay, so basically, the conference went every day. They started at... session started like at 12:30 and went until about 8:30 at night. And so you had session after session, a lot of plenary sessions. This is one of the plenary sessions. This is at Linwood Baptist Church. So this is Say Brandt and Dr. Mack's church right here. And beautiful building. It's really cool. I mean, it's a little bit like California. If you've been to a Southern California church where you can, like, they make a foyer out of just outside. They have a big courtyard where they open all the doors and you just walk right out into the courtyard, and it's extra space. It's kind of neat to have that kind of weather. That's the way it is in Southern California. You know, you don't need a foyer. The outside is your foyer. You don't have to be protected from the rain. It does rain, but rarely, just like that. But it was a wonderful conference, and it's really exciting to see what the Lord is doing. Dr. Mack, I think the vision that he had and that Say Brandt shares now and leading SMTI and working with ACBC, the both of them and the leadership of it, it's really something. I got to go to one of the board meetings for SMTI and be a fly on the wall and just hear the brothers talking about their burden. Ted Tripp was at that as well. And he did, as I said, he did a fantastic job. The sessions he taught were really powerful from Genesis. He basically was showing us how, essentially, his theme was we learn about being God's grace, and we learn about how not to parent by looking at the patriarchs. It's kind of a basically, that wasn't how he said it. I'm recharacterizing it. But you look at Jacob's failure, you look at Rebecca's failure, you look at, you know, and so you see from these things, wow, look how God's still working out a plan, and it shows me how I need to think differently and be biblical. But we met brothers from all over South Africa, a gentleman from Liberia, that influential leading pastor up there that's I'd heard about and then met him at the conference, and he's wanting to take biblical counseling into all of the churches associated with him and this fellowship. And so it's really neat to see what God is doing. So the conference was fantastic. It was a blessing to me to sit through it. It was such a great conference. I sat through everything twice. I mean, I get to hear Dr. Tripp's messages twice, Dr. Mack's messages twice, Say Brandt's messages, you know, the same way. All we got to do everything twice, and it was all worth it. So it was like I was glad I was getting to hear it a second time. So anyway, that was a great blessing. Okay, Cape Town. So, okay, well, it was beautiful. Say Brandt was telling us it's going to be, you know, it's going to blow your mind. He lived there a good bit of his life in that area. And this is Table Mountain, which you can see, the view is just unbelievable. You get a little glimpse of it here with Carolyn and Chelsea there. This was the walk. Now, to give you an example, we get out of, isn't this Cape Point? So we get out of the van, and Say Brandt takes off. And I take off behind him, and Jonathan's right behind me. And I'm thinking, okay, we're walking up. And I was glad to walk up, but we walk, and we're walking fast because we don't have a lot of time. We're making time. We're going, Cape Point is where the Indian Ocean and Atlantic Ocean come together. So we're walking up this big hill. It's just a long way, a lot of steps. We get to the top, and I'm just kind of exhausted. We stopped a couple times for breaks, but, you know, we get going again. And we're up there for a minute, and we've only been up there for maybe 5 minutes, and I see Bethany and Carolyn and walking around. I thought we were farther ahead of them than that. Well, there was a train that you could get on and take all the way up to the top. But I made the mistake of following my leader. I should have left my wingman and gone on the train. I did on the way back. I went on the train down. Anyway, but it was an incredible place. The views were just staggering. These are penguins that they have in South Africa. And we got to stand, like you see, Chelsea's like she's holding court with them there. That's the way. I have a picture of me and Jonathan doing the same thing. Like they're surrounding. We called you here for this meeting. It looks like that. Krista actually took some of those pictures because she was swimming with the penguins, more or less. I don't know if you got too close to them, but she was swimming. We saw some guys doing some netting. They had a net that they dredged net about a half mile of distance, and they pull the net in and pull everything within that half mile. It was something to watch. Yeah, they really got nothing of value in that. We watched it. It was about 10 or 12 guys, wasn't it? Yeah, the sunrise there in South in Cape Town, and back to the. What is the food like? It's good.
I like food. So two questions that I always get for every trip that I ever go on is what was the food like and what does it actually look like? Like, what is it like? So the top, I guess, right picture, that's fish. I don't like fish. That was hake and calamari and Sabrant. It was at this little place that Sabrant loved. And it was cool. The first day we went, we were like, oh, this is so cool and fishy. The next day we went, it looked totally different. And we were like, huh. I swear that sign was red yesterday. Apparently, they were filming a Vin Diesel movie, and they had made it. They transformed it to Italy, so all of the writing was now in Italian. There was an Italian flag. They had all these like fake. The pier had been like transformed with all these little fake boutiques. There was a 1965 Ford Mustang. I was like, you don't see that in South Africa, I doubt. But the middle thing, the next two were my two favorite dishes. Babuti, and it was pumpkin hush puppies, I guess is the best way I can describe it. And then you just haven't lived until you have tried this cake. It is just pretty sure it's going to be in heaven at some point. It's called lightning cake, and it's just the best thing. Which button do I press? Oh, this one. Okay. And then what does Pretoria look like? Bethany took this picture. They have these trees. They're is it jacaranda? Jacaranda trees. They're really purple and awesome, like lavender color. And then this is pretty much Cape Town. This presentation would not be complete if we didn't say that, say, Brent, anytime we went around a cape, look for shadows in the water. Look for shadows in the water. Yes, because it's the great white shark capital of the world. And sadly, we did not see any great white sharks. I was sad. So there we go.
Okay, so that is the end of our slides. We're going to have Sabrant come and kind of give us an update on just what's going on in South Africa and their ministry there, and also defend his walking and driving.
Well, I'm just totally going to ignore you. And we were at the airport with Carol Marie, and she said, Daddy, you walk so fast. And I said, listen to me, keep quiet and come. We have to get there. And so I am so sorry, but I'm sure I've added to your stamina. And I suppose, yeah, that's why my wife don't go on walks with me. She says, you walk too fast. And I just don't understand that. Why do you want to crawl if you need to walk? So, yes, thank you so much for praying for the work in South Africa, especially biblical counseling. If you think about the milieu or the context in which we minister, people have never heard biblical counseling taught or explained. If you go to seminary in South Africa, you are warned against people like Jay Adams and Wayne Mack. I mean, let me tell you the story. I was at seminary, and our teacher, psychology teacher, was warning us against biblical counseling and against Jay Adams and Wayne Mack. And so you can imagine, I mean, this is just absolutely crazy. I married the man's daughter. And so a few years ago, we were here, we went to visit Jay Adams, and I told him the story about the lecturer. And he said, did you say she? What was she doing there? Teaching theology. And so you might be offended by that, but honestly, when we come to Scripture, there's a specific standard about what is right and what is wrong. And so when we teach biblical counseling, we are teaching it in a milieu, in a context, a cultural context, where it is opposed. It needs to be eliminated. There are many Reformed churches that is against biblical counseling. I don't understand why we should have our confessions to get our theology, but we refuse to use the Bible to know how to live our lives. We don't need external sources to inform us how to raise our children or how to reach our purpose in life. And so you mentioned that there was a warmness about people at the conference. And those were certainly people that were exposed to biblical counseling before. Also, what we find is when we do these conferences, very often people would come up and they would be very thankful because they've lost hope in the hope that secular counseling offers. And so, yes, just another, yes, perhaps another door. If I open this door, it might be the hope. And we know it is the hope of the gospel. So when we minister, very often with the conferences, we have people that come, but they walk out, or they come for the first day and we don't see them again. So that happens. But very often when we have these conferences, and of course this time it has happened again, people come, they ask you questions. It was a conference on Our Family God's Way, or My Family God's Way, Your Family God's Way. And they ask questions. And it is true what you say about biblical counseling, because biblical counseling, when it's presented, immediately bring questions. And you want to clarify things. Do I understand this? And a conversation very easily reaches the hearts and the motivations and the beliefs that people have. And so we have those conversations with people. And you hear sad stories, but you can also give hope to people that the scriptures do have the answers for the difficulties that we face in this life. Of course, it's not enough to interpret the problems and to instruct on the problems. So what happens when we have these conferences, people apply to do SMTI. I'll probably say about something about that later. We've got 70 students, and we don't know what to do with it. Starting a new, the new cycle, the first week in February. For South Africa, that is wonderful. It's an opportunity to share the gospel with people from a different perspective. Because they present their problems, and through their problems, you can explain the sinfulness of man, the hope that Christ gives, and you can go directly to their motivations and their thinking, their beliefs, and you can minister to them. It's a wonderful way of evangelizing people. So we are very thankful for the help that we've had at last year's conference, and these guys were unbelievable. The kids, my kids, still rattle off the little things that you've taught them. And where did you learn that? We didn't do that in devotion. And so it is just fantastic. Now, South Africans cannot understand why you would want to give up the 2 weeks of holiday that you have here, except for those who are retired, to come and serve in such an insignificant place, and children, so that parents may sit in a conference and hear God's truth about raising their children explained and driven to the heart. That was quite incredible. That was an incredible encouragement for us. And of course, it was wonderful spending time with your brother, or my daughter got hold of your brother's watch. And so she got a fake watch for Christmas, a fake Apple watch. And so it's just those relationships. And when we pray, and Asa, where are you? Oh, there you are. And my daughter's heart that is broken. and all the opportunities we have to teach her. Thank you so much for loving us, supporting us, praying with us. Please continue to pray that God may take his word and deliver it into the hearts of people, that they may believe and come to an understanding of the gospel, power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit to change, to put off sinful behaviors, to put on godly behaviors, to become like Christ. Biblical counseling really supports the purpose that God has with his word. And so, but thank you that you as a church are encouraging us and praying for us. And please don't stop. I hope you're working on a second trip again to come. This time I'll work on my walking. Do you have any questions that I did not answer or something you might want to hear? Sure. I tried last night to get that number from Nadia, but we've reached about 350 adults and about 75 children, and which is a small group, but it's a manageable group that you can minister to if they have questions. And so those were the numbers that we reached. Yes.
In addition, I understand that there are people who might oppose the message, but do they take action against you in any way, or do they just ignore you and hope you go away?
Do they take action like take us to? What do you mean by action against us?
Well, anyway, sometimes they'll come and disrupt an event, or sometimes they'll talk through the media, or talk in other churches, or in some way try to dismantle what progress you're making.
We haven't had that kind of persecution. Can we call that? Yeah, we can call that persecution. We've had a different kind. You know, Paul in Acts 20 talks about persecution from the outside and persecution from the inside. And God chose in 2018 to have the persecution come from the inside. And so we had a person that was trained in biblical counseling. Had wonderful opportunities, just turn against Dr. Mack. That is shocking, you know, for us that was just like, but this makes absolutely no sense. But Paul writes and says sometimes he's perplexed, or there were opportunities and circumstances where he was perplexed, and those are opportunities to cast ourselves upon the Lord. So sadly, we had that, and the matter was actually taken to the church on the 23rd of November. So it turned out to a church discipline issue, which was, if you think about it, and I'm saying this to encourage you, that even when you know biblical counseling principles, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're applying it. The importance of obedience and trusting the Lord and committing our ways to God, that we will be obedient and that we will truly believe the things that he has given to us to obey. So it's always a shock when that happens from within the biblical counseling family. But we haven't had externally, although we did have a response. I spoke on Radio Pulpit. It was a two-hour interview on biblical counseling. And we just had remarks on Facebook, but we weren't reported. They didn't ask me about LGBT or homosexuality or anything like that. So I hope I answered your question.
Are there means to follow up with the attendees until the next conference? Sometimes there are, sometimes there aren't in this period.
Well, obviously, because of distance, it's a 17-hour drive to Cape Town. A very tiring drive, but very beautiful. We obviously can't have contact with those folks, but we've started online biblical counseling training. And many of those folk have applied for that, so they're doing it online. We do send out, we do have a mailing list. And we are training biblical counselors down in Cape Town, Durban. We've got one now in Mozambique. Hopefully through the counselors that we train, they will have contact. It's just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in a body, and he could only be in Galilee at the same time. So we have that same problem, which raises another point. Please pray for us for workers. We need people to come alongside us who have been trained in biblical counseling to help, because the demands are extensive. Is that the right word? Yeah, yeah. There was another question over there. Yes?
What were the primary maybe topics of the sessions, and if it's different, what are really the main issues and challenges you're seeing?
The conference we had now, yeah. That's a very interesting question, because whenever we have a conference, we see certain people rock up and others stay away. So we've had, this conference was Your Family God's Way. We dealt with the theology of raising children. We dealt, Ted dealt with the patriarchs, looking at the families and the sins of the fathers to the second and third generation. And it's just wonderful studying that history. It's such an encouragement, because we just see ourselves there. And yet God is faithful and loving to work through broken people like that for his glory. I spoke on the whole issue of my father never loved me, which is also a family-related issue. It usually happens with people in their 30s or 40s where they have a major problem with a parent. So I spoke on that. And then Margie, she did a women's conference. That's Margie Tripp. And she also had a breakout session with the ladies. Now, what was interesting was that we had families attend this conference. But the previous conference was on racism when color divides. And there maybe 10 white people. The rest were black people, black folk attending the conference. Because in our culture groups, we are looking for answers, Christian answers, to solve some of the deep emotions and distress that we experience in certain circumstances. And so that was the conference. The previous conference, we had many pastors attend, because it was Heath Lambert and Ernie Baker that did that. And then, interesting, the first conference we did, the problem was a bit with the title. It was called Sex as God Intended. And there were some pastors that had a major issue with us using the word. And it was packed with men. So it tells you how people struggle, and you can kind of assess the culture through, you know. It doesn't make sense what I'm saying to you guys. I'm South African, so I don't always know if I reach the target. I don't know if I answered your question at all.
But what are you seeing in individual situations?
Okay. In counseling, sure, you shouldn't ask me that question. In counseling at the moment, we've had people this year, folk who've struggled with depression. They are so drugged to the point of not being able to function. Now, the world will tell us that drugs are given so that they can cope. And so what we have discovered, people who are on medication, and it's interesting, asking them how you get onto the medication, they would go to a GP, and the GP will prescribe a mood stabilizer or antidepressant. And over the years, the dosage is increased to the point where they can no longer function. So what we've done this year, this past year, is that we've had a few. I work with a psychologist and a medical doctor to take some of the folk off medication. So that happens often. Sexual sin is a huge issue in the church. Pornography, all kinds. We have a lot of that. And I think an issue that is not in the counseling room yet, but hopefully will be soon, is how do we deal with our racial identity? I think that's an issue here. It's all over the world. Okay, I'm going to put it in the South African context. How do I, as a white male, communicate with a person of a different race? It's so ingrained. I don't know whether you guys picked it up. There are literally groupings in South Africa. Here it is, the lines are not as stark. So to cross those barriers and how to communicate to them, I hope that's going to come to the counseling room because I'm doing my thesis on that, how to escape racial identity. Because we find so much meaning in the fact that we are white, or we find so much meaning in the fact that I'm different and I'm from a different race. But how we want to be accepted by others, and we become unhappy if we're not accepted by them, and this is my identity, this is who I am, and just the whole aspect of, no, your identity is in Christ now, to move people from creating a gospel in their own cultural setting to the real gospel that says there's no divide between us. Again, I'm like asking, does it make sense what I'm saying? So you asked about that. And then marriage counseling. Marriage counseling is a big thing. We have a lot of that. That's probably the majority of the counseling. Husbands and wives that just don't get along. Stop communicating. Communication is a big thing. And I would say those are the top four. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Well, we're going to have a few minutes to visit with Sabrant over in the other building for fellowship time. We're going to break now. And let's close in prayer, and we'll pray for just the ongoing ministry there. Father, we just ask that your blessing would continue to be upon your word in South Africa. We ask it for all over the world, everywhere the word is going forth, that it would run literally, Lord, from heart to heart, that you would help us speak it faithfully, and that you would give grace to Sabrant as he leads Linwood, SMTI, Dr. Mack, continue to strengthen him, and Carol and Beth and Carol Marie and Thomas Wayne. Pray that your grace would be just at work in all of their lives and in their church. We pray particularly about the situation they had, the church discipline situation, that you would work to bring that brother to repentance, and that he would come to senses, Lord, and walk in truth. Father, thank you for the fact that even if not, Lord, you honor the faithful ministry of your word, even in that process, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.